Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Fueled by Frank and Honest Gourmet Coffee. The perfect blend to kickstart your day. Barista quality coffee available at Centra and Supervalu.
Now let's talk gambling. Gambling is promoted relentlessly in sport on telly these days, and you just have to wonder what kind of an effect that would have. My next guest knows better than most. Owen Coyne is a young man who was a problem gambler, but managed, thankfully, to get his life back on track, and he joins me on the line. Owen, how's it going?
Hey, Jennifer, how's it going? Not too
bad.
I'm good.
It's great to have you. Are you in Cork at the moment?
In Yall, yeah.
Oh, you're That's in Yall. Right. Very good, very good. And how's things? Did you get any snow over the weekend? Go on, tell us.
We had a small bit of snow last Wednesday. We just had enough so we could enjoy it. And the novelty of it was great.
Yeah.
And it dissipated pretty quickly, so we didn't get sick of it. So
we've got the sun
shining today.
Good, well-mannered snow. Fair play to you. So let's talk. You're here to talk about gambling, and I'm very grateful for you to tell us your story. Do you remember the first bet you ever made?
Yeah, I remember the first win. I don't remember the first bet, but I remember winning €100 when I was about 14 or 15. I put €10 on Frank Lampard to score a first goal, and it was 10-1. And I can still remember him hitting the ball and the ball going into the bottom left-hand corner, and the feeling of elation that I had. And I probably from there I was hooked in.
That's a lot of money for a young lad.
It is, yeah. 14, 15, 100 quid in your pocket.
In your pocket, yeah.
It was nice, but it didn't continue that way. But that was the hook that drew me in, as I said.
So what happened after that? Once you won that money, was it a thing that you thought, oh, this is something that I can do really well? Did it just continue on from there?
Yeah, I suppose it was so easy, that first win. It was like, you know, I thought I'd never again see a poor day, you know?
Mm.
And from there, I got a part-time job in the local greyhound track when I was 15. And I started working there, and obviously that was the environment where there was betting going on. And while it was innocent enough when I started, I would have bet on the tote, maybe €2 here, €3, €4. After a couple of years, in the back of my head, I knew deep down it was a problem without admitting to it. So while I worked there, I used to have a couple of bets. And when I was about 16 or 17, there was times where I used to leave race night. I'd collect my wages on the way in and I'd leave about 2 hours later with no wages.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Is that when you knew you had a bit of a problem?
It's probably when I knew. I never admitted to it at that age. Like, I was,
of course,
10 years gambling before I ever admitted to having a problem. So, like, that was when I was 17. I didn't admit to it until I was 25. So it went on for a long time after that.
That is a long time. Let's talk about those 10 years. Can you tell me what happened with your student grant?
Yeah, so my first year of college, I got a grant, and it was slow enough to come through. And usually grants come in stages. You get every term, you get bits and pieces of it. But there was some delay with this, and I got it all together at the end of the academic year. And I decided to go to Las Vegas with the grant. And yeah, it didn't last too long, and it didn't really go towards my college work either. The college work definitely suffered. But yeah, I can remember the trip to Las Vegas. At the time, it was great. You know, we went to see the Killers there, and the lights of it and everything was amazing. But I remember one night in the New York hotel, got out of there at about 5 or 6 in the morning. I was only 21 and I had lost about €2,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did people around you, because it's one of those things that it's very hard to see, but people around you, did they just think, oh, that's just Owen just having a laugh, he's just being young? Or did they see a problem? How did your family feel about this, or did you lie to them?
That's it. Like, it probably was just, this is the way Owen is. And I kind of lived a double life. I was extremely good at hiding it. not only was I a compulsive gambler, but I was a compulsive liar, because I was able to lie about what I was doing with my time. If I was spending too much time in the bookies, I'd have an excuse, you know, made up, so I could bluff my way along. And yeah, if ever came a tricky question about spending too much time in the bookies or gambling, then I would be able to brush it off, you know. And I think, like, once you're brushing it off, and when you have people questioning you, you're going to be a little bit more distant from them afterwards.
Yeah, because you're lying, effectively.
You're lying to them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're 25, because you said it was 10 years. You're 25. Did you get tired of lying? How did you start the road to recovery? Did you open up to someone?
I was exhausted from it.
Were you?
My head was absolutely melted, Jennifer. I used to spend, towards the end, I used to spend every waking minute thinking about having a bet, where I was going to bet, what I was going to bet on, how much I was going to bet, how much I could potentially win. If I lost, how could I get more money to bet? And yeah, when I was 25 in 2013, as I said, I was exhausted, and I just had to face up to it. There was no other option, really. I was living in London at the time with my girlfriend, and we were due to move apartment, and we needed a deposit for the apartment and for the apartment. And we had saved up the deposit. I had my half of it. My girlfriend had her half of it, and I lost my half of the deposit in the bookies, and I just had to come out with it and tell her that I had a problem. And that was the first time I admitted to myself and to somebody else.
Did she know?
She hadn't a clue.
Wow.
Yeah, it's mad. Like, we talk about it, we're married now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. She was fantastic in the support that she gave me. But we talk about it now, and she says that, like, the first time that she realised that it was a problem was when it was almost over.
Mm.
So, like, that's the thing with gambling. It's the hidden addiction. I mean, if I was abusing myself with substances, you'd see it in my face. You'd see it in the way I act. You know, I'd fallen around the place. You know, it would show. But with a behavioural addiction like gambling, it's so easily hidden. Like, a lot of my friends would still say to me that they hadn't a clue what was going on, even though for me it was such an overriding thing that was bothering me. I was really able to mask it.
How did it feel opening up to her on that day?
It was really hard to say that there was a problem and that I had a problem with gambling. It took me 45 minutes from the time I told her that I had something to tell her to actually saying out loud, I have a problem with gambling. But when I did, it was great. Her reaction was so far removed from what I was expecting. She was extremely supportive. Told me that it was going to be okay. Rationalized the situation for me, because I had built it up in my head to be, like, terrible. But in reality, you know, after admitting to the problem, what had gone on before was far worse than confronting it. And as I continued opening up and speaking to close family and close friends, the reaction from them was just pure love and support. And that's the main message, really. It was a really dark place when I was stuck in the middle of the gambling, but coming out of it, the help that I got was unbelievable.
Can we talk about your road to recovery? What route did you find best, and how did you go about it?
So, after admitting to Jennifer, sorry, that's my wife's name as well.
Great name. Mm-hmm.
Great name. That was in August of 2013. Unfortunately, I slipped back into gambling a couple of weeks later. And it wasn't until January 2014 that I had my last bet. I had £1 in my pocket for the last fortnight before the next paycheck. And I went into the bookies and I lost the pound. And I just thought to myself, this has gone on too long. And it was like the kind of, that was the moment in my head where I said, I can't do this anymore. So, as I said, I was living in the UK and I was aware of a charity called GamCare. I got in touch with them through an online forum. They set up an initial meeting with them, and from the time I contacted them, it took 15 days for them to arrange for me to meet with a face-to-face counsellor.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the start of the recovery, and it was great. I just found the therapy life-changing. I still do therapy to this day, 7 years on. I find it so beneficial to me, to my family and to my life around that. You know, I suppose gambling is a way of masking any insecurities that you've got going on in your mind. And that's probably what I use it for, you know. Say, like, with the college thing, I dropped out of college because, you know, I wasn't putting the time into it. I was putting a lot more time into spending time in the bookies than I was with college. So, like, you know, therapy was able to work through an awful lot of those things, and I was able to look at the behaviour that I had around gambling, and it was very much a case of self-destruct. If pressure came on, it was a case of press the self-destruct button and go and have a bet. And obviously, with gambling, it's such a high-risk addiction that it caused an awful lot of problems for me.
Now, you talk about therapy there. In your opinion, do you think it's imperative for anyone who maybe faces the same problem to seek therapy? It's maybe just not enough to admit that you have a problem, that therapy will help in a lot of ways?
Yeah, anyone that knows me is probably sick of me telling them to go to therapy. I tell everybody to go to therapy, whether they have a problem or not.
Yeah.
I find it great. But yeah, definitely with an addiction, regardless of what it is, it's very hard to do it on your own. You need support, and it's fantastic to have family support and friend support. But there are people that may be listening that mightn't have any family, or mightn't have, you know, they might have pushed their friends away because of their addiction. But there is professional help, and there are support groups who are very, you know, well in tune with what's going on in terms of addiction, you know, like Gamblers Anonymous or Alcoholics Anonymous. Or there are professional therapies available. And I wouldn't have been able to recover or get to where I am without professional therapy. And I'd be a huge advocate of it.
Another form of therapy that you do, you've started writing, and you write poetry.
Yeah.
Very powerful poetry. I have a short clip. Owen, do you mind if I play a bit?
No, I'd be delighted, yeah.
So this is Tunnel Vision, a poem you wrote. Is that right?
That's right.
And do you mind me asking, when did you write this?
So I wrote it last November.
last November.
It took me a few months to write it, but I got there in the end and I was really happy with the final product of it. So, yeah.
Okay, well, let's have a listen.
My mind overridden by a pure tunnel vision. This insatiable appetite that's never satisfied. The rush of adrenaline, risking everything. The roll of a dice, this crippling vice. They're under starter's orders, the dogs behind the traps. And as my breath gets shorter, there's no time to relax. I've got to get the money on, I have to place that bet. Then just as fast the money's gone, and I have nothing left.
Unbelievable. Amazing stuff there. Oh, you mentioned in the poem there, risking it all. Was that the buzz of it? Was that what it was for you? The buzz of the roll of the dice, the gamble itself, not rather than the winning or the losing, if you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's sometimes it's never about the winning or the losing. As I said, it's about the escape and, yeah, the rush, like chasing that dopamine hit.
Mm.
That's really what it's about.
Okay.
Obviously, the wins are nice and you do remember the wins more so than the losses. But, like, in reality, it doesn't really matter.
And you're still very big into sport. How do you handle all those gambling ads?
It's a nightmare for people. Like, I mean, for me, I'm so far removed from it now. Like, and this is why I'm talking on radio and stuff, because, like, gambling is everywhere. My wife and I turned on Sky Sports News there a couple of weeks ago. It was the time that Frank Lampard got sacked by Chelsea, and I'm a Chelsea fan, so I wanted to see what was going on. And I very rarely watch Sky Sports News, and we had it on for 90 seconds, and I turned around to my wife, and I said, I've counted 5 gambling ads in that 90 seconds. So for anyone that's trying to escape addiction or in early recovery, like, how can they get away from it? They can't. It's so intertwined and so ingrained in sport nowadays by gambling companies. They're sponsoring soccer teams. Mm. It's on every soccer shirt. It's everywhere. It's really hard to escape. And for young lads now, I see it from my own GAA club and every GAA club across the country from talking to people. So normalised that you link sports to gambling. People can't watch a soccer match without having a bet on first goal scorer or whatever it is. It's gone beyond saturation point.
And it's frightening, isn't it? Because, like you said, your first bet at 14, you know, and these kids watching sport at such an early age would be open to that, would be seeing that, would find that quite normal, the whole betting culture as well. That's what's so frightening about it.
Exactly. I mean, kids are so exposed to it now. Like, even using, like, iPads or tablets, it's unregulated. The advertising from the advertising on your phone or your tablet, if you're scrolling through Twitter, like, Premier League teams have betting partners now, and on their official Twitter handle, they'll advertise bets. And there's a lot of young people, there's a lot of under 18s looking at that, and they're being targeted by that. So, I mean, it's negligent at best, or it's done on purpose at worst.
So do you think, I mean, we've a long way to go before the adverts stop and the gambling companies stop sponsoring football teams, but do you think having these conversations with our 14, 15-year-olds about gambling is a wise way to go?
I think so, yeah. I mean, kids need to know, and not just kids, but, like, people in their teens and in their 20s and 30s, they need to know the consequences of, you know, getting into gambling and becoming a compulsive gambler. and, you know, what it can take from you. Like, for me, I feel it set me back 10 years of my life. Now, thankfully, I've moved past it. But, like, there's an awful lot of years that I feel have been lost. So, go back to your question, it's really important that we highlight the risks involved, but also, you know, we need to talk to people about it being so normalized. It's not a normal behavior. It's an addiction, and it's a really powerful addiction. And
it destroys lives. Let's be honest.
Absolutely.
We're getting a lot of texts in. Can I read them out to you?
Sure, yeah.
Somebody texts me saying, Jen, listen to Owen. The one thing I have to commend him on is his, you know, realization that he had a problem at such a young age. I started gambling when I was about 18 and kept gambling till I was about 34. I'm 37 now. And when I look back, I had a really big problem around 22, 23. But I always thought, sure, I'm only young. I've nothing to lose. On reflection, I lost a lot. I lost the trust of my parents and a future in a career I think I would have loved. I think there is a stigma on young people being able to gamble and they can't. Young lads gamble way too much and it's not healthy.
100%. I picked up on one thing that he said there, that the people do is they compare themselves to others. And what I used to do is I used to compare myself to other gamblers. And I used to see people losing a lot more money than me. I used to see people spend a lot more time in the bookies than me. And I used to say to myself, I'm not as bad as them. If they're not getting help, and then they probably don't have a problem. So if I'm not as bad as them, I definitely don't have a problem. So that was my way of rationalizing it. And that's what you do for anyone who has any kind of an addiction or a problem. They'll rationalize the irrational. And that's a real, you know, that's a thing that's common within addiction.
That's a real problem. Here's another text, Jen. One thing Owen touched on in your chat this morning was the compulsive lying that goes on with problem gambling. I had a boyfriend who was a gambler when I lived in the US, and he never hurt me by losing money, but he hurt me with his lies, which were just awful. Like Owen, he had a completely different life, and while I was planning a future with him and thinking we were both saving for a house, he was in fact gambling every cent he made. Our relationship didn't survive the betrayal, and I moved home to Ireland, but I still think of him and I wish him the best. I'm not sure if he got the help he needed, but I really hope he did.
It's really tough, like, for me to hear that. Now, you know, that could have very, very easily been me. You know, only for the fact that I did reach out. And, you know, there's different circumstances around that as well. I was very lucky. I lived away from home where I didn't have to, you know, change an awful lot of my life around. When I got help, you know, I didn't have to change my friend circle and all of that kind of stuff. And it could have very easily gone a different way, you know, when I look back on it. And I'm really, really grateful that I got out of it when I did. And
I suppose your girlfriend or your wife now, Jennifer, is really grateful that you reached out when you were 25 and made that first step.
Yeah, definitely. And like, that's a huge credit to her as well.
Yeah.
That I felt that I could reach out to her, you know.
Exactly.
And I'm extremely grateful to her.
Did you buy her Valentine's Day present?
I got her a card and some chocolate.
Fair enough.
Last minute.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
But she didn't give me any card, though.
It's not for you on Valentine's Day. It's not for you, apparently. It's only for us. Listen to me. Finally, I just want to ask you, what help would you recommend? So if there's anybody listening or family members of people that they think may have a problem, where should they go?
Just reach out, like, regardless of who it is, be it a friend, a family member, Gamblers Anonymous, a professional therapist. Once you admit to somebody else, it just takes the weight of the stress and all of the pressure that you've been feeling by just speaking about it out loud and saying out loud, I have a problem. It takes an awful lot of that stress off your shoulders. And it's the hardest thing to do in recovery is to take that first step. But once you do it, there's so much that you can go on and do, and you can live your life properly without this secret life that's going on in the background. And that's the main thing, really.
Owen Coyne, thank you so much for joining us today and telling us your story. I would love to play your poem again, just because it is so powerful and so amazing. Do you mind if I do that?
You can, yeah. It's on my website as well,
no,
Jennifer.
I'll
just get a quick plug
in.
I set up a website recently for my poetry. It's wordscoined.com.
Are you on Instagram? You are on Instagram.
I'm on Instagram,
message me. Yeah. I'll
Owen Coyne.
Owen Coyne. Give him a follow. You
all
can
my
find
poems are there as well.
They're all there. They're all there. You must find that very therapeutic, your writing,
it's brilliant.
You?
I love it. I absolutely love it. And it was through therapy as well that I managed to pluck up the courage to start writing and to start sharing them online. And it's given me a great outlet.
Well, thank God. And never stop. Thank you so much, Owen. I'll chat to you soon, okay?
Cheers, Jennifer.
Bye, bye, bye. There we go. That is Owen Coyne. What a lovely lad. And here is his poem, Tunnel Vision.
My mind overridden by a pure tunnel vision. This insatiable appetite that's never satisfied. The rush of adrenaline, risking everything. The roll of a dice, this crippling vice. They're under starter's orders. The dogs behind the traps. And as my breath gets shorter, there's no time to relax. I've got to get the money on. I have to place that bet. Then just as fast the money's gone and I have nothing left.
There we go. Just so powerful. Owen Coyne, what a legend. Thank you so much. And just to mention, problemgambling.ie is just another service available if you feel that you have a problem with gambling. Help is out there if you want it. Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.